So my name is Olivia Reinitz. I am 17. Today is November 30th, and I am speaking with Kem Trice, and she is like my aunt to me.
Oh, thanks.
We are recording this interview in Condon, Montana. Okay. Can you tell me a little about your childhood, what you were like as a kid?
Yes. All right. First, I think you should know I was born in 1953.
Okay.
That makes me 64 years old. I'll be 65 in April. And back then, there was no color TV. And when you picked up the telephone, you said to people, I want to talk to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And they just plugged you in.
Oh, cool.
So there was no dialing. There was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was an only child,
mm-hmm.
except that I did have two half-sisters and a half-brother,
mm-hmm.
but they were 18, 19 years older than me. One was 18 years older, one was 19,
mm-hmm.
and then one was like 26 years older than
me. Wow.
So they were more like a mother and
yeah.
father than brothers or sisters.
Yeah.
And I lived in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, everything was segregated,
mm-hmm.
since you're talking about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so, Hungry. All right, come on. Anyway, I didn't go to kindergarten or preschool.
Oh, wow.
My mother just worked with me, read to me,
yeah.
things like that. My daddy picked up milk. My mother was a homemaker. We lived in what would be suburbia. So we had a pretty big yard. I had friends up the street. We would play, go to each other's house,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. My parents were older,
mm-hmm.
when I was born. My dad was 55, and my mom was 35.
Okay.
So I think more I grew up with adults than with children.
Mm-hmm.
But in Tennessee, it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun, and it was safe.
Yeah.
And you just knew everybody. You got to go to the local ice cream store and get milkshakes, and or you got to walk down to the store and get a ice cream sandwich or something,
mm-hmm.
and then you could walk home because it was only like 4 or 5 blocks.
Yeah.
So it was good. Yeah. And I started to school when I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
You could only wear dresses.
Oh.
Even in first grade, you could only wear dresses.
That'd be challenging.
Yeah. And when it was really, really cold, then the mothers would put your little pants on underneath your dress, and then when you went to school, you would go to the bathroom and you would take your pants off, and then because you couldn't wear
pants,
none, zero. So that was kind of neat. I had a really good first grade teacher. I loved her a lot, and she was a very good teacher. In fact, I credit her with everything that I've done,
mm-hmm.
including when I taught at the other school,
school. Yeah, so you had a good foundation.
I did, an excellent foundation. My mother was Baptist, my daddy was Methodist, and I ended up going to the Church of Christ.
Okay.
Don't know how.
Yeah, it just happened.
Yeah. And I had aunts and uncles,
mm-hmm.
which I had my mama's sister, and my daddy had a sister. So I had some family, but we didn't have a huge family, not like some of the people did.
Yeah.
My great-granddaddy fought in the Civil War.
Oh, wow.
My mother and her family lost everything in the Depression. So I think you grow up with those kinds of histories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of intertwined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So, let's see, what else would you want to know?
Can you tell me about one or two people have been the biggest influence besides your first grade teacher?
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Oh, Olivia, that's a hard one. Definitely my first grade teacher. And then I guess I had a chemistry teacher in high school who was very, I guess she made me believe mm-hmm. in myself that I could do things that I didn't think, like chemistry.
Yeah.
I was not a strong chemistry student. But she always made it seem like if you just put forth that effort.
Yeah.
So her name was Miss Montgomery.
Okay.
And she was kind of mean, but yet she was still a very positive influence. And then, let's see, try to think back over people I knew back home. I'm sure that there's more. I'll probably think of them later. I guess, I don't know, maybe, how about, can I use my dad?
Yeah.
Oh, my dad. My dad was not, he didn't get to go to college. Mm-hmm. In fact, he didn't finish high school. But I know that whenever I got older, mm-hmm. growing up, it was always that I was going to finish high school, I was going to go to college,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to travel.
Mm-hmm.
That was his whole thing.
Yeah.
Those three things, you're going to do that. So probably him too.
Yeah. I know you traveled.
Yeah, I did travel. Yeah, a lot. Yeah, we were pretty lucky.
What is one of your happiest memories?
In my childhood or
your whole life?
My whole life. When we lived in Indonesia, and it was, Jenny was probably 4 mm-hmm. and Callie was 2. We went to Bali for mm-hmm. a family vacation. And I guess that was just about the best time we'd ever had.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
The kids were happy. Jim and I were happy. We sat on the pool, on the side of the pool, and the kids were playing, and the water was shallow, so there were no worries,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you could just lay in the sun and drink watermelon juice and watch the kids.
Yeah.
And I guess that was probably, I always told Jim that I'd like to go back and do that, but
yeah,
we wouldn't have the kids, so it might not be the same. I don't know, but yeah. I think it was that.
Yeah, I bet. That sounds like it would be very happy.
Yeah, he was happy.
What is one of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
Important lessons. To do what you really want to do, not what people think you should do. Or what people want for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, I wanted to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted, well, that's not true. I did want to be a teacher. But then I decided, my mother said, well, teachers don't make any money, and anybody can be a teacher. So, no, you don't want to be a teacher. And so I decided, okay, fine, I'd be a veterinarian. Well, I didn't have the drive
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Yeah.
And I realized that after I'd gone through 6 years of undergraduate, realizing that I just didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think either that, I mean, I had the grades,
mm-hmm.
I knew, but I did question my not necessarily my ability, but you have to have drive to go to vet school.
Yeah, you want to do it.
And I didn't have it.
Yeah, because it's hard.
So, I tell you what I did do, though. I stayed that extra year, and I was the first woman certified in Tennessee to teach vocational agriculture.
Oh, wow.
So, I did that, and I had FFA and VOAG men teachers say, women don't belong in FFA, girls don't belong in FFA, mm-hmm. and women don't belong teaching vocational agriculture.
Yeah.
So I I never did teach that. I wanted to go into a two-person school where somebody teaches like the shop part, and then you have a classroom teacher. And I never was hired to do that because I honestly think that, that the whole system didn't want a woman to succeed. And I wasn't willing to do that and fail. And I knew I would because I'm a terrible welder. And I don't put lawnmowers back together very well either. So I knew that that wasn't what was going to be the best. So I went ahead and got my master's degree in pigs. And that was good. I mean, it was a good thing to do. But I still think I opened the door in Tennessee because I do know that after me, there were two or three, and then two or three more, and two or three more. So now there are women that teach vocational agriculture.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, but it was pretty fun at the time.
Yeah, I bet. Get to do that.
Yeah.
I love watching, like, you see the films about the first woman to do something and all.
Yeah. So, and I had a really good Dr. Kiesling. He was a really good advisor, and he's the one who talked me into it. He says, "You can do this. You can do this." I went, "All right, well, let's do it." So I did.
That's cool. What are you proudest and personally and professionally?
Oh, well, that would be it. Yeah. That I was able to get that degree, that I was able to open the doors for other women. I think that's important. And it was good for me too. I had, like I said, Dr. Kiesling was an excellent advisor, very, very supportive. The other guy maybe not so much, but that's okay. I mean, because he didn't stand in the way. So I guess that would be professional. Although when I was selling pharmaceuticals to physicians, the first year that I worked for the company, I was bottom in my district. I mean, lowest sales, not good. The next year, I was the top sales rep in my district. So in 1 year, I turned everything around. And that's motivation.
Very much so. What are you most grateful for?
My girls, Jenny and Callie. And how good they've turned out. You know, Jenny's the veterinarian, and Callie's working on her master's. And I think, honestly, that in the end, Callie's going to be happier in her job than maybe Jenny, because right now, you know, Jenny's kind of tired of palpating cows all day. But both of them, and how that they come home and we talk, they tell me things that influence them that I never knew. You know, what things we did. I know Jenny one time said that their preacher said, "Where did you get your generosity?" And she says, "Well, I immediately thought of you and Dad, how Dad gives money to people on the street, and how you always took us and took the tags off the trees, and we always bought presents, or we always gave coats for kids and, you know, school supplies and all sorts of stuff anyway." And she said, and I remembered all that. And I think that that's, oh, and the other thing is Jenny credits me with her faith.
That's awesome.
And I never, I never knew that until she got married and she told me that. So,
That's cool. Can you tell me about the dumbest thing you ever did in your life?
Do you think I want to tell you about the dumbest thing I ever did? Let me see. What would that be? Yes, I can. When I worked in Colorado, I was new to the state. You grow up here, you know about snow and back roads and stuff like that. I was coming from back east. I was coming from Tennessee and Missouri, and neither one of those places have snow. So there was this time that I wanted to get from one town to another town, and I wanted to go the shortest route.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the map out, and I looked at the map, and the map showed this two-lane road that went over the mountain. And I started up the road, and it was a horrible snowstorm. And I didn't stop, and I kept going. And I got maybe two-thirds of the way up, and the car got stuck in the snow. So, if you want to, I got stuck, mm-hmm. and I prayed. I mean, literally
yeah.
prayed. And I said, God, I know I'm not going to die, but I also know I'm not going to get out of here unless you send help.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I knew I wasn't going to die, because a lot of people freeze to death, but I just knew that, but, I mean, this was not a traveled road.
Yeah.
This was stupid, is what it was. So anyway, and I don't know, it took maybe 20 minutes, and all of a sudden I see these lights coming up behind me. And this guy said, it would be, he got out of the car, and he was like 6'6",
oh,
and
gosh.
This big. And I'm thinking, holy cow, this was crazy. And he said, it'd be easier if you had chains. And I went, oh, I have chains. It's like, duh, I don't know. And anyway, so he put the chains on, and he said, you go get in the car with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still thinking this is crazy, but what am I going to do? So I got in the car, and the guy said, I know you're scared, but we're going to a Bible study at our preacher's house, and so we'll take you there. And
aww.
They took me there. But the stupid
yeah.
thing was I should have turned around and gone the long
way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's but, awesome. That's a blessing.
Yeah, it was a blessing. It
yeah.
was. Yeah. And it really helped my faith, too.
Has your life been any different than how you imagined it when you were growing up?
Yes, yes, it has been different from what I imagined it. I think probably growing up, I thought I would be a teacher and I would probably live in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I would get married and have some kids. Well, that is not different. But I never thought that I would live, I never thought I'd get married in Singapore. For one thing, but I did. I met Jim, and we got married in Singapore. I never thought that. I lived a year there. I never thought that I would live as many places. We went from Singapore to California, California to Texas, Texas to Indonesia. We stayed there 6 years. We moved here, Montana. We moved to Malaysia for 2 years, Washington State for 2 years. So my life has been incredibly different,
mm-hmm.
Just moving around so much, because
yeah.
I grew up with roots,
right.
And it's hard when you move, you don't have roots.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know you're going to live somewhere for 2 years, you don't put down as many. Although I think we put down pretty good roots in Indonesia, because
yeah.
we had the kids and we had friends, and
yeah.
It was... And even though we knew we wouldn't live there forever, it
mm-hmm.
was still a home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I guess that's how different is just how much, I think I've moved 22 times.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah.
From the time I moved out of my mom's house to now, 22 times.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a
yeah.
lot.
So, yeah, it's way different.
How would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as a good person, a good teacher, a kind person, and I would like when people remember me for them to smile. That's what I want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any regrets?
Yes, I do. I regret not being a teacher. I do
yeah.
regret that, because I know I would have been a good one, and
yeah,
I know that I would have been able to give good influence to kids.
Yeah.
You know. So that would be my one regret. But the rest of it, no.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah.
Okay. Thinking about your family many generations from now and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them, any wisdom or advice you'd like to share?
I would say that, yeah, do what is in your heart, because then you'll be successful. And that success isn't how much money you make or what kind of house you live in. Success is when you go to bed at night and you feel really good about whatever you did that day,
mm-hmm.
or how you have friends, or how people, you know, people gravitate to you or come to you. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's success, not just money.
Yeah.
And I think we lose, you know, and gadgets,
yeah.
and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we already asked you what your childhood home was like, but what was your bedroom like? What did you have? What did it look like?
Okay. I had a four-poster bed, but not with a
canopy.
I just had a four-poster bed. And I had a big vanity with a big mirror
mm-hmm.
on it and a chest. And then I had a cedar chest in there,
mm-hmm.
too. And it had a closet,
mm-hmm.
and it was pink. My room was pink. And I can't remember my bedspread. I'm sure it was just one of those old Tommy Shale
yeah.
things. But and I had a double bed. So you didn't have king bed.
Yeah.
I just had a double bed, but and I didn't put a lot of posters on my wall,
mm-hmm.
But I had a lot of stuffed animals,
yeah.
so I had a lot of stuffed animals on the bed. Yeah.
Was your room like bubblegum pink or more of like a soft pink?
Soft pink.
Soft pink.
Pink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't have a bathroom attached.
Yeah.
Which almost every room now has a bathroom.
Yeah.
Attached. But no, back then you didn't.
No.
You didn't have stuff like that. Yeah. So, might want to turn that off.
Okay. What is something you're passionate about besides teaching?
America. And being a good citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And being a good American. And keeping the Constitution.
So that's what you'd call being a good American, keeping the Constitution, or do you have?
Yes, I think this country was based on the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and I honestly think that it is not antiquated. I think that it's fair
mm-hmm.
for all. It says that, and that I guess that would be the next thing I'm passionate about. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, think about the first time we met. What went through your mind?
Oh, let's see. I think the first time we met maybe was at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you had the sweetest, gentlest spirit of anybody I had seen in a long time, of a young girl. That's what I thought.
I remember your red boots you wore when you came there.
Oh.
I remember she's got bright red boots on.
Oh, I think I have those right over there. I
probably
wore those today at the post office.
Yeah.
Oh.
That is so cool.
Oh.
Okay, so tell me about a historic event that has impacted your life. What are your most vivid memories of that event, and how did it make you feel?
A historic event. Well, there's several.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe the one I remember most is the day that the Challenger blew up, because I stayed home from work
mm-hmm.
to watch that. Because back then, that was a really big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was still a big deal.
Yeah, we're going into space.
Yeah. And when I still to this day, I can remember how it looked on the TV it went up and then just kind of exploded, but there's things that were kind of coming out. And I kept thinking, well, surely they ejected. Mm-hmm. I mean, duh. I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah.
Because then you have to sit there and you watched it and you knew that they didn't, mm-hmm. that they were dead. And it had just blown up. And I think it just hit my heart how things just can happen to you.
Yeah.
That you just... I mean, they didn't think that was going to happen. They
no.
were excited about
yeah.
going up. And then all of a sudden, this thing just blew up.
Yep.
And all those people just died. And like I said, I think it just makes you think that you aren't guaranteed anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess even that affected me more than 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was the first. I mean, that wasn't a terrorist thing,
no.
but that was really the first thing time I think that Americans had seen in the space thing. So I mean, because there'd been
yeah.
several gone up before
right.
and come back and everything,
mm-hmm.
and John Glenn went around the world, you know,
yeah.
went around and everything was fine, and we were just lulled into that couldn't happen.
Yeah,
and it did. Anyway, yeah, I guess that, like I said, I still can remember that in my mind. I mean, just like I'm looking at it on TV. And I remember just sitting there, just feeling just whoosh,
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You can't process it.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, anyway.
All right. Did you have experience like with the Vietnam War protest or civil rights? I know maybe some of the, like you said, segregated, but
yes.
I know you had to have some of that.
Yes. When I was a sophomore,
mm-hmm.
I think, in high school,
mm-hmm.
they integrated our school. And before that,
mm-hmm.
the African Americans had gone to, they had a school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they had a high school, we had a high school. They had grade schools, we had grade schools, okay? And I remember when they integrated us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of interesting because they didn't want to be there either.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't comfortable because you weren't, you know, people call you racist. You weren't racist.
No.
But... you just didn't...
It wasn't normal.
It wasn't normal. You weren't together. There was
yeah.
no place that you were together.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't play ball together. You didn't have clubs together. You didn't... And in fact, a lot of the blacks, they didn't want their kids to go to school there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want that. They were okay with what was going on. And I remember walking down the hall one day and... there were about, I don't know, six black guys,
mm-hmm.
and they were down the hall. And I remember them, and I was, you know, 5'5", I weighed 100 pounds wet, and I was not a big
yeah.
person, and how they would stand in front of you
mm-hmm.
and make you kind of have to go around them.
Yeah.
There was never anything more than that. We didn't
yeah.
fight. There were no fights. There were no, but it was a uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
Until we all felt each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you start playing sports together or you start doing clubs together or you start, and you get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make friends just like now. You
yeah.
make friends based on your interests.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. The Vietnam War, I had a bracelet
mm-hmm.
of a guy who was a POW.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he was an MIA. And he's still an MIA.
Okay.
He never came back. And that was a big thing. I had friends who were coming up for the draft. I didn't have any that their draft numbers were ever called,
mm-hmm.
so I didn't really have any friends that went there and died. you watch stuff on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I was really not one to protest the Vietnam War because
mm-hmm.
I kind of felt, I guess, that we were there trying to bring democracy, keep people from being,
mm-hmm.
You know, communist
yeah.
and trod upon. As I've gotten older, I'm not sure I totally agree with that now, but,
mm-hmm.
Oh, and I do remember Jane Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I do not watch Jane Fonda movies because what she did was wrong in going there and, you know, crawling up on the tanks with them. And
mm-hmm.
There was a couple of other things she did, and that was wrong. I think that if you're going to be an American, even if you don't agree with what's going on, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, segregation and integration and the Vietnam War, I grew up in an area where the Ku Klux Klan
mm-hmm.
was there. I never knew anyone that I knew was
mm-hmm.
in there, but I did suspect that
yeah.
there were one person I knew,
mm-hmm.
I thought, boy, I bet he could be in there. But, and I never witnessed anything,
mm-hmm.
nothing like that. We lived in a really small town.
Yeah.
And we just didn't have that sort of anger
yeah.
with people. But, I mean, I grew up in that. I grew
yeah.
up, you know, just different than now. I mean, there was no TV,
mm-hmm.
and then there was black and white TV,
mm-hmm.
and then I remember color TV. There were only landline phones. You didn't have, I remember it was a long time ago, Olivia.
Yeah.
I'm old, and I mean, the things that I have seen, I mean, who would have ever thought you could hold a phone in your hand and talk to somebody
yeah.
around the world.
Yeah. Can,
No. I mean, my brother went to Germany,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't call home from Germany.
No,
because
it didn't work.
It just, and, you know, just stuff like that, and I don't know, you know, appliances. I saw on Facebook today some guy had this picture of an Electrolux. It's a vacuum cleaner. I knew exactly. My mother had one.
Uh-huh.
And you just think, you know.
You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's people who don't know that. I remember when I was working, having to go to a phone booth to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember when they used to put phones so you could drive up to them and call from your car and you didn't have to get out.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And everybody thought, woohoo, this
yeah.
is great. Yeah. So, yeah. There's been a lot. And now look at the TVs. Look what we've got for TV. You know.
Yeah. Smart TV.
And I mean, you can get on our iPads and we can watch whatever we want.
Yeah.
You know? So, and computers that tell you everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
sometimes stuff you don't want.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, you don't want. But, yeah, I mean, in growing up, I read Dick and Jane books.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't watch TV. We went out and played. We didn't have video games. We didn't
yeah.
have any kind of games. I mean, you played real cards.
Mm-hmm.
You played, you know, and families did that together. I'm sure
yeah.
yours does, but a lot of families don't do that. Oh, and the other thing we did every night was we sat down at the table and we ate together. Every night. You didn't
yep.
get away with not.
Yep.
And our house was kind of like a big open door.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would have people come in and at supper time and eat. You know, you could
yeah.
have three or four extra at the table. And the interesting thing was there was always enough food.
Yeah.
You know, my
That's
mama
awesome.
Was really good. I mean, she could throw something else on the table and, you know.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I think that's a lost art now. I don't
yeah,
think people do that anymore.
Hard.
Yeah. So, all right, so that kind of diverged. But anyway.
That's okay, though.
So, okay.
Okay, so you... Did you like school even though you were really
I
good?
Loved school. Yes, I loved school. I always loved school. I liked learning.
Mm-hmm.
I liked reading and math. Not chemistry. And I liked doing plays and things like mm-hmm. that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you do during the summer when you weren't during in school?
Okay, and when after are you talking about when I was younger and high school?
Both.
Okay, when I was younger, what I did was I read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I did. The library had these contests,
mm-hmm.
and if you read so many books, you got certain mm-hmm. things. Well, I should tell you that I read every book I said I read, and it never dawned on me to cheat.
Cheat, yeah.
But then I had a girlfriend who said, oh, I read 20 books. I said, how did you do that? She goes, oh, you just have to write them down. And I looked at her like, you got to be nuts. So I was
yeah.
incredibly honest, I think. And then when I got older, my dad died when I was 15. So I started working
mm-hmm.
to help my mom with
mm-hmm.
money. And so I could have spending money, and I didn't have to get
mm-hmm.
it from her. And I worked at a lawyer's office, which made me know I never wanted to be an office
yeah.
worker. And then I got my life savings certificate,
mm-hmm.
and I taught kids to swim, and I was a lifeguard. And I did that for 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun job to have.
It was. It was. But you know what? I worked 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
and six of those I worked 12 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
And I started at 9 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and from 9 to 12, I taught swimming.
Mm-hmm.
That was my private thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then from 12 to 4, or 5, I guess it was 5, we lifeguarded at the
yeah.
pool. And then from 5 to 8,
mm-hmm.
I taught swimming again. I
oh,
taught
wow.
babies and adults and kids. And I did that 6 days a week.
Sounds interesting, yeah.
It was interesting, yeah, yeah. And the one thing I do remember is when you went to work to be a lifeguard, you could
mm-hmm.
not have the 4th of July off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so by the time, you know, like about year 8 or 9, I was running the swimming pool.
Oh, wow.
And so I hired this girl. Never will forget this. And I told every person I hired, you cannot have the 4th of July off.
Mm-hmm.
And so the morning of the 4th of July, she calls me and says, I'm sick. And just so this will tell you, just so you know, people remember. And if she came to me looking for a job today, I would not hire her because of her actions.
Yep.
Because I wouldn't think I could trust her.
Yep.
And I wanted to fire her is what I wanted to do, but I didn't have enough lifeguards.
Yeah.
So I couldn't. But I just remember that attitude. And I would have never had that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked hard. I'm not sure, Olivia, where I think some of that's gone. I think there are kids that do work
yeah.
hard, and then I think there are kids that just think that they're owed something.
Yeah.
And I don't
yeah.
think that.
They don't need as much honesty in the job either, probably.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, if you could go back and relive your teenage years, would you?
No.
No? How come?
I had good teenage years. My dad died when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
That was a shocker.
Yeah.
But I knew I was loved. I was comfortable. We weren't rich by any means,
yeah.
but we had food. And if I needed a new dress, most of the time I could get one. I had good friends. I had good grades.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good school. So, no, I'm pretty happy with
okay.
the way that my high school years went. Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it again.
What would you call the keys to a strong relationship?
Relationship as in?
Like friends.
Friends. dependability, that you can, that you are dependable for them,
mm-hmm.
and they are dependable for you, and dependability with no strings attached. Like, you know, people saying, well, I did this for you at one point, and,
yeah.
you know, that sort of thing. You're just there.
Yep.
And honesty. Honesty with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, of all the jobs you've held your whole life, what was your favorite?
Teaching at Mission Christian School.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Yes. I never, ever woke up one day and said, oh, gee, I don't want to do this. Every day I wanted to go to school. So that was my favorite, my very favorite. Yeah.
What was your least favorite job?
My least favorite job was selling drugs. Ruby was selling drugs to physicians. I was good at it,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't really like sales all mm-hmm. that much. And I don't like sales now at all
mm-hmm.
because it's all changed.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't want to do that job again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very
Although
different.
I made good money.
Okay, so you said that your parents were Baptist and Methodist, but what did it play like personally, like your belief in God, and was it just kind of your parents' thing, or was it yours too?
No, it was mine.
It was
and
yours
in fact,
too?
I'm not sure that it wasn't mine more than theirs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how I started going to the Church of Christ, but I know that that's where I went, and I would get up on Sunday mornings by myself
mm-hmm.
and get ready, and my mama would take me to church, and then she would pick me up when church was over,
mm-hmm.
and I did that all until I could drive myself to church,
mm-hmm.
and I always went to church. I always liked going to church. I always felt good at church.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that church is the one place that you ought to be able to walk into and not worry.
Yeah.
Because you all should be of like minds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't always work.
Yeah.
But that's what I always thought. So any time that we went anywhere,
mm-hmm.
moved like Jim and I, when we moved a lot of different places, or when I moved a lot,
mm-hmm.
even before him, I always found a church. That was the first thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've always had that
mm-hmm.
belief. Always. I think it just was... It just came with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah.
What are your favorite memories of living in Malaysia and the other places you've lived overseas?
Okay. I'll start with Singapore
mm-hmm.
because that was the first place I moved in, Jim. And I guess one of the best memories was when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
When did you get married?
May 10th, 1984.
Okay.
Yes. Jim says he would remember that because of the George Orwell book, 1984, which I'm not sure is exactly why you want him to remember that,
yeah.
but, and we got married on May 10th because it's like 5/10.
Yeah.
So you can remember, he can remember that too. Yeah. But I don't think he still does. Singapore was really nice. It was safe.
Mm-hmm.
I got on the bus. I went places. I did things. I remember going to the markets where very few people spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
And you would barter, you know,
yeah.
and you'd get fresh fish and fresh vegetables. And that was really,
really good.
And when we got married there, even though at the time Jim says, oh, one of these days you'll laugh about it. And it's true. But... it was kind of a interesting ceremony. It was you know, like in a like a courthouse
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So, but it was a good. That's a good memory, even though I never thought it would be at the time. But it is. It is. And I mean, we still have like Christmas ornaments from
mm-hmm.
Singapore. And
where did that thing come from?
That thing is Jim's, and he bought that in. Is that Bali?
Yep.
Bali.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when we moved from Singapore, We had a motorcycle. He had a motorcycle in Singapore, and we would zip around all the traffic and stuff. Oh, and